Blog Talk Radio.
People, how you guys doing? Robert Ford, how you doing tonight, man?
What's going on, America?
I don't know if Robert's awake.
What's going on, America?
good deal.
Dr. Dre, how you feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling excellent as always. Welcome once again to a dynamic episode of Talking Sports 12th Man. We've already talked about Dr. Dre, me, and yours truly, and then also we have Robert Ford. Tonight is December the 7th. Hope everyone is recovering from holiday shopping, all that fun stuff. And we're ready to kick it off with the great episode of sports. So let's get this party started. Robert Ford, we got a lot of things to talk about. We've got to talk about some NBA rumors, what's going on with that. We got a lot of things going on with college coaches, some moves, some firings, some hirings. Going to delve into the national championship game, LSU versus Alabama, and everyone, I'm sure, has a lot of fun opinions about that, whether or not Oklahoma State should be in that, as well as we're going to recap some of the NFL and some big games that are going to happen this weekend. So without further ado, Robert Ford, let's talk about the NBA. A lot of rumors have been going on. I'm going to let you read this on because this is your deal. What you got to talk about as far as a lot of rumors, innuendos, and all that fun stuff?
Well, as you know, come this Friday, the 9th, NBA teams will be open in training camps, as well as it will be the start of free agency, and it looks like it's going to be a mad frenzy, similar to what we had with the football season right after the lockout. It looks like it's going to be a lot of player movement, a lot of trades, and a lot of action is going to be taking place. And, of course, there are a lot of big-name rumors out there, particularly with Dwight Howard and Chris Paul. I know there was some talk about the Lakers, so, you know, wanting to have a chance at both of them. Don't look like the Lakers are going to be able to get them both. But there's a chance that, you know, the Lakers could get Dwight Howard. And, you know, there's a possibility that the Lakers could even be sending Gasol, Bynum, and Odom, all to Orlando for Dwight Howard, or at least two of those three players. And it looked like it might be a good chance that the Lakers might be able to get Dwight Howard. And and it looked like the Hornets are definitely not interested in sending Chris Paul to the Lakers. It looks like the Hornets are looking for some more young talent in return. And so it looks like the two top candidates to get Chris Paul as of right now, as of tonight, are the Clippers and the Warriors. And the Clippers, of course, are offering a package that may be able to include Eric Gordon, DeAndre Jordan, first-round draft pick from Minnesota, and, you know, and possibility of what's the kid out of Wake Forest, Amino.
Amino?
Yeah. And the Hornets are also talking to Golden State with a trade for Chris Paul for Stephon Curry and a player or two on the draft pick. So looks like the Hornets want to get at least a dynamic guard in return. And look like they have no interest in sending them to the Lakers just because the Lakers don't have any young talent to send back in return as far as the guard is concerned. So that's kind of like the big news in the NBA. I know those two are the big name players that, you know, could be on the move. There's some other players out there like Nene. I know the Miami Heat is desperately trying to sign him, but it looked like he may be staying in Denver. I know Miami would definitely like to add some more presence down low. And Tyson Chandler looked like he won't be returning to Dallas. Looked like Golden State is kind of getting in the mix with that too. As far as getting Tyson Chandler, and not necessarily a big name player, but Chuck Hayes, solid role player for the Rockets. You know, he played with Kentucky in college. you know, Sacramento Kings offering him a 4-year, $20 million deal. So it's going to be a mad frenzy. And, you know, we've talked last week about the amnesty clause, and so you're going to be seeing some players get released as well. Come Friday, I think you kind of see what's kind of taking shape with some of these deals in the NBA. And it's kind of unfortunate right now. A lot of these big-name players in the NBA right now want to play with other superstars. And that seems to be the trend that's taking place in the NBA right now as we speak.
It's kind of messed up, too. If you're like the Lakers, I mean, especially if you're trying to make trades, you know, I don't know what they can offer because, as you know, it seems like, you know, they don't have a lot of young players. They're kind of a veteran team, so it's kind of like, you know, they're richer getting richer, if you will. So, you know, as you mentioned, if you're the Hornets, you're not going to make a trade because you're not getting anything young. You're not getting any talent in return. I mean, unless you're really like one or two pieces away, I don't see why you make a deal with the Lakers at all. So, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. With the situation with the Hornets right now, you know, you know, Chris Paul has really pretty much dealt their hand. It doesn't sound like he's going to sign an extension with the Hornets, and he's only got 1 year left on his contract. So the Hornets are left with no choice but to try to make a trade. But, you know, the Hornets want to make sure they're getting quality in return. And like I said, looks like the Clippers and the Warriors are probably the two top destinations for Chris Paul right now, at least for the Hornets' sake, because the Hornets feel like they have young players that they can send back to the Hornets. You know, in the Clippers, you know, Chris Paul could probably develop a great 1-2 combo with a player like Blake Griffin. And so it looks like he's open to that destination. And I hear he's open to going to Golden State if they can sign the Tyson Chandler as well. So that's the way it's looking right now. Like I said, come Friday, it looks like you know we're going to have a mad frenzy. Next week's show, Wednesday, you may want to tune in, listen in, and get some updates. You know where we are with the basketball frenzy that will be taking place.
Actually, I'm wondering the number to. Yeah, the call in real quick, Rob. I'm going to cut you off here real quick. Get the number in. It's 424-243-9511. Go ahead and finish your thought, Robert.
Oh, no, I know we can kind of move on to a little college football talk. You know, we got a little recap this past weekend. I know we had a BCS championship game. And I got a little bit of a coaching carousel that's also taking place and some big names going to some new destinations in college football. I don't know if you want to. Then we got a little Heisman talk as well in college football. So I don't know if you want to kind of start off by just kind of recapping the week in college football and, you know, what's your thoughts on some of the matchups, LSU beating Georgia, Oklahoma State whipping Oklahoma.
Yeah, that was it was interesting to see see the weekend and obviously one of the biggest games was LSU Georgia, as you know, and you know what a great game. I'll let you talk a little bit more about Honey Badger Jonas thing. Oklahoma State whipping Oklahoma. That was we talked about it last week, and sorry Oklahoma fans, I always said that I didn't trust Bob Stoops in the big game, and he is unfortunately proving me right. So Oklahoma State did their thing. They beat them handily, and it wasn't quite enough to propel them. Obviously, into the number two spot. We'll talk about that a little later. But great win, and their defense is definitely getting by, creating turnovers. And like you said, Oklahoma just, I don't know what the deal is. Just the moment, as always, seems to get them lost. And, you know, I don't know if that's coaching or players. I don't know what to say. But it's very interesting.
Yeah, I definitely don't think Oklahoma is as good as people thought they were going to be prior to the season. And I think they've taken a huge drop once Ryan Brawls got hurt too as well. So they're definitely not the team that, you know, they were preseason ranked number one. I don't know if a lot of people even remember that. Oklahoma was the preseason ranked number one team in the country. And, injuries and, you know, whatever you want to say, they just did not live up to that billing this year. And Oklahoma just rocked them. You know, we talked about on last week's show that in order for Oklahoma State to move past Alabama, that they would have to blow out Oklahoma. Well, they did just that. and yet they're still number three in the final BCS standings. I know there's a lot of controversy with that. LSU is facing Alabama for the national championship, a rematch game. I know it's not the perfect system, but based on the system that we have, I think the BCS got it right with the, you know, with the matchup. But, you know, we all know that, you know, we would like to see a playoff system. It would be nice if Oklahoma State can at least have a shot to play Alabama to get into this game.
Yeah, and, you know, you pretty much said it correctly. I mean, until we get a playoff system, this is all pretty much null and void. But mm-hmm. I did take the opportunity, Robert, to look up, you know, because I've had both people talking to me all week about both sides of the coin, whether it should be Alabama, whether it should be Oklahoma State that should be playing. And you know, I hate to bring it up, but, you know, if you are Oklahoma State, you lost to Iowa State, and they're 6-6, and they were 3-6 in the conference. So mm-hmm. right there, you were a 27-point favorite to win, and you didn't win that game. I mean, you lost, and yeah, it was double overtime. But that's kind of what people are looking at now. If you would have lost to maybe a Kansas State, or if you'd have lost to maybe Baylor, even, I think you would probably be playing in the national championship. But because of that that loss, and I know people, they always say, well, we want some new blood in there, and we're SEC biased or whatever you want to say, but I really think the two best teams will be playing, and it sucks that it's like a rematch, I mean, but it's what it is. I mean, the two best teams are playing. And I'll let you get your thoughts on this, Matt.
Yes, and like I said, based on the system that we have in place, I totally agree with you. This is the best matchup. You know, based on the system that's in place, they got it right with the one versus number two, and it just so happens to be a rematch. I know it's not easy, you know, of course, for myself being an LSU fan, it's not easy to for anybody to beat the team twice in 1 year, but it has been done on several occasions. And I think Les Miles and LSU is handling it the right way. They're not making any excuses. Hey, we want to be national champions. We're going to have to beat this team the second time. And that's just the way it is. It's just the way the system is in place. It's still better than what it used to be, but, you know, we still have a long way to go in college football. I would like to see us at least go to the plus one model. You know, for those of you all out there that may not understand the plus one model, you have the basically you could have the one versus four, which would be LSU versus Stanford. They could play in the Sugar Bowl, and then you could take two Alabama versus three Oklahoma State, let them play in the Fiesta Bowl, and then a week or two later, the two winners pair off for the national championship. That seems to be the model that's starting to take a lot of people are starting to push now, and I hear the Big 12 is backing it now. And so maybe that might be the next step in a few years, is that we may have a plus one model. And, of course, that's better than what's in place now. And hopefully, you know, that we get to like a mini Final Four here in a few years.
Yeah, I kind of like the plus one system. I also like a system kind of similar to what we do in the NFL. Basically, you know, you take your conference winners. Maybe you play the week before, like maybe 1 or 2 weeks before, and you know, you kind of have maybe you have like a 16 playoff or like excuse me 18 playoff, something like that, and you get like your kind of at large or wild cards in there, and that way Alabama will still play, and you get those good matchups. And then, as you mentioned, you still keep the bowl system intact. If you're a home team, you get an extra game. Let's say that, you know, you're Alabama and you're playing, you know, whatever. You're playing, you know, the 1-8 or the 2-7, something like that. And, you know, you still keep the system going, too. So even if you're at ACT school and if you were like of Clemson and you won your championship and you play in the system and you lose, you still get that at bowl. And you still get to go to whatever bowl, whether it's a BCS or whatever. So that way you still keep dignity. Everyone gets more football. I think NFL scouts are happy to get the scout players even more.
Yes.
But like I said, the plus one thing is good too. So, I mean, it really, at the bottom line is we need to have a playoff system so that way we're not arguing and fighting over, you know, what ifs. You know, what if this,
exactly.
And, you know, co-national champions and little things like that. That way there's kind of like, there's no there's
just
no
settle on the field.
It is what it is. Yep, settle it on the field. So that's kind of what we have. And you know, about 14 minutes in, Rob, you want to talk about some Heisman talk, if you will, or
yeah, we got a little Heisman talk here, and you got some coaching carousel in college football, and then we can get on some NFL talk here a little bit. And I don't know if you want to go ahead and give the listeners the phone number to call in again, and we can talk about the five finalists for the Heisman.
Yep, real quick, the number to call in once again is 424-243-9519. Always look forward to hearing your thoughts. I'm sure, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but always give us a shout. We'll love to talk to you guys, and we can definitely change course in the middle of the show. Just real quick, you know, obviously we didn't get a chance to talk about it. Big news that Urban Meyer takes over for Ohio State. Hugh Freeze takes over for Old Miss, if you will. Curtis Johnson's taking over for Tulane. Mike Leach, a big, big get for Washington State. And obviously Rich Rodriguez taking over Arizona. I know we're hearing some rumors about, and Bob Bailey taking over New Mexico, if you really care about that too out there. Some news, Robert, what were you telling me earlier there's some rumors about Mr. Jim Mora Jr. Is that what we're hearing out there too?
There are some reports out there that UCLA is strongly considering hiring Jim Mora Jr. Jim Mora Jr. is supposedly Jim Mora Jr. reached out to both UCLA and Arizona State and said that he was interested in being a head coach, and looked like UCLA is a team that is strongly considering him for their head coaching position, and should be very interesting. And you know, as you may know, Jim Mora Jr. at one time reported that he would leave and take the head coach at University of Washington, you know, in a heartbeat. And so with him going to UCLA, you know, he'll be coaching against his alma mater. So that should be very interesting. But I also hear, like I said, that he did reach out to Arizona State, but it looks like UCLA is narrowing in on Jim Mora Jr. And I think that's who they may be hiring. And my question to you, do you think he is capable of turning that UCLA program around? Of course, you know him very well. He used to be the coach of your Atlanta Falcons. And by the way, the UCLA first choice was Chris Peterson, but Chris Peterson turned him down.
Yeah, Chris Peterson isn't going anywhere. I don't even know what his perfect job, maybe his perfect job is Boise State. But about Jim Mora Jr., you know, I definitely think he can do some things. The thing that you're worried about if you're a UCLA fan is he's going to bring Greg Knapp into the – no, that's a bad joke. I'm sorry about that. Like you said, he's had a lot of experience in – coaching the pros, so I definitely think that that's going to be a plus for a lot of recruits. You're kind of curious to see what he does with his staff, but guy's a very charismatic gentleman. Gets it from his dad, obviously. So I think he can definitely do some things to turn that program around. You know, he can't be definitely can't do any worse than Rick Neuheisel. So I thought you were going to laugh about the Greg Knapp thing, man. I thought that was pretty funny.
Greg Knapp is the offensive coordinator in Houston, so the guy still has a job. Interesting about this UCLA I mentioned that they offered a head coaching job to Chris Peterson at Boise State. He turned down UCLA. They offered a job to Al Golden, the head coach of Miami. He turned UCLA down. They offered a job to Kevin Sumlin, the head coach of the University of Houston. There's three head coaches that's turned down UCLA, a school that's in the Pac-12, that's in Los Angeles, richest of football talent. Why does no one want this job? But Jim Mora Jr.
They called the right person. I would have taken the job there to give me a call. I'm available.
I think UCLA wants to win championships. They don't want to go to 1-12 every year.
Here we go. Okay. That's what it's all about. Wrapping up, anything else you got there as we wrap this up for college football?
Quickly, I know we just briefly, I guess out of all the big-name coaches that we just talked about, the Urban Meyer is the biggest name. of them going to Ohio State, which is kind of interesting. I know he mentioned last year he wanted to take some time off, spend some time with his family. You know, we definitely can all respect that. I know there's some reports out there that saying it was a little bit more than that to why he left Florida, and you know, that he was a little concerned that he wouldn't have the talent to compete in the SEC. Privately, that was his concern. But I think most people thought he would be out of coaching for a few years, but already a year later, he's going to Ohio State. Now, we all know Urban Meyer can recruit, and Ohio has a great football talent base. And plus, they're usually able to pick some players, you know, out of Eastern Pennsylvania. And Urban Meyer, of course, from his time in Florida, he still got contacts with the high school coaches in Florida. And Ohio State can usually get their hand pick of players, even out of talent-rich states like Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas as well. And so I think he would be the kind of guy that can turn Ohio State into a winner again very quickly. But still a little surprising that he's back in the coaching already. Just, you know, wanted to get your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And you know, this was my opinion on the subject. I really think that we really didn't expect everything to go down with Jim Tressel. Because, and seriously, if he doesn't have the problems with the NCAA, do you think he's going to be out this quickly? So I think that situation caused a quicker response from Urban Meyer, because at the end of the day, maybe Jim Tressel would have, you know, been around a little bit longer, and then who knows if Urban Meyer would be coaching Penn State. You know, you never know what would happen. So I think, like you said, the circumstances with that, and, you know, with Luke Finkel taking over for Ohio State, kind of like exasperated everything, and then he had to make a move quicker than what he expected, because, you know, I'm sure that Ohio State not going to sit around and wait. I mean, they would, but at the end of the day, it's like, hey, this is a good fit. You know, maybe I'm a little earlier than I expected. You know, maybe the circumstances, maybe I really did miss coaching. You know, I don't know. Who knows what goes on, too. So that's kind of what I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the perfect storm happened. It opened up. Here's the job. Let's move quickly and make it happen.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the better jobs in college football. There's no doubt about it. And plus, one thing we need to point out, Urban Meyer is also an Ohio native, so definitely wasn't a hard sell to get him to come to Ohio State. Two other big names just want to talk about real quickly. We talk about a little Heisman and kind of wrap up with the NFL here. Rich Rodriguez, you know, he's had success at West Virginia, you know, taken to a couple of BCS bowl games, even had an opportunity to go to a national championship game in 07 until he lost his last game of the year. That particular year, we all know back in 05, 06, upset Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. So, I mean, he's had some success. Didn't do that well at Michigan. Now he's going to Arizona, a team that, you know, at times have had some pretty good years in football. And do you think he can be successful in the Pac-12? You know, USC is going to be strong next year. You know, Oregon's going to be strong. You know, can he win at a school like Arizona?
You know, like I said, I think he can. He's going to get they're going to like him in Arizona because he's bringing that, and maybe it's a false hope. He's going to bring that style similar to what Oregon has, probably not to that scale, obviously, but he's going to get some athletes. And, you know, he gets one quarterback or two, and they're going to surprise some people. I'm not going to say that it's going to be, you know, they're going to be the top of the league like a USC or even an Oregon or a Stanford, but, you know, he'll probably get them to be respectable. And maybe a couple years down the road, they may have a shot of doing a good job of competing. But, you know, USC still is kind of like the cream of the crop. And, you know, what happens with Stanford, they get some more good quarterback recruits. It's going to be interesting to see how the Pac-12 is going to actually turn out. So he'll be in the middle of the pack, definitely.
Yeah. And then you have Mike Leach going to Washington State. We saw that Mike Leach was able to compete at Texas Tech. You know, you got Texas, you got Oklahoma, you got Texas A&M. And as you see, Baylor is even playing well. So Texas Tech was definitely not a easy school to recruit players to come to Lubbock. Now he's going to go to Washington State, where another place is not necessarily an easy school to get recruits. I mean, Washington State had some success over the years with Ryan Leaf and maybe a few other seasons. You know, can he do it at Washington State? And who leads their school to some winning seasons first? Is it Mike Leach at Washington State, or is it Rich Rodriguez at Arizona? My personal take will be easier for Rich to get players to Arizona than it would Mike to go to Washington State.
I agree with you wholeheartedly because, you know, Washington State is an interesting scenario. I've got a good friend that actually goes there, or has got some family that goes there. So it's just a smaller stadium. They're not as talent rich as a Texas, if you will. And we talked about earlier, you can get good talent from Texas. Mm-hmm. Washington may be a little more tougher for Mike Leach. He's got a great system, a great coach, but it may take him some time to really get those players to kind of come, as you mentioned, because they have a choice of whether they're going to go to Oregon, are they going to Washington. I mean, they have a lot of different school choices, too. So it's going to take them a little longer to get everything, get everything rolling. But he is a good coach.
Yeah. And getting down to some Heisman talk here really quickly. We got the five finalists this weekend. The Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu from LSU, Trent Richardson from Alabama. We also have Andrew Luck from Stanford, Robert Griffin III from Baylor. And there's a fifth candidate that's slipping my mind here for some reason. But we also have a fifth candidate. Maybe Andre can help me out here. Who is the fifth candidate? I'm just going blank all of a sudden.
That's okay. I'm actually going through this too. Let me see here. I was looking up something else, as a matter of fact. We're right. Let me cue this up here as we. I need to get your back, sir. My computer locked up on me, but that's okay. We'll get it. Like I said, so basically, real quick, just as we're trying to get everything, about 3 minutes or so left. Just if you look at the body of work, Rob, if you would say who do you think is going to win the Heisman? If you would say,
well,
this is the person I think is going to win the Heisman.
My vote, if I had a vote, would go to Trent Richardson from Alabama. Just you look at the kind of year he's had, and then you compare him to when Mark Ingram won a Heisman. He's actually had a better year than when Ingram had when he won the Heisman. More touchdowns, more yardage. I would vote for the Honey Badger if he did not get suspended this year for that one game, and he would have been my vote if it wasn't for that. But I think I would have to go. My next best choice would be Trent Richardson, and he would be. I think he would be my vote for the Heisman.
Wow, you gotta. It's tough because I think you have to look at the body of work, if you will. And I kind of like Andrew Luck, and this is only because I'm looking at the body of work. I'm actually pulling for Robert Griffin III to win it because I've always been a fan of his. But, you know, sometimes you think that I think that body of work may come in and they may say, hey, you know, this guy's been the best quarterback, even though he's had a tough go. It's, you know, winning, losing a couple of games. But, you know, that's kind of what I think what's going to happen, you know. So there you go.
Monte Ball is the fifth Heisman candidate that just slipped my mind. I apologize about that to our listeners.
What was his name?
Monte Ball, running back from Wisconsin.
Monte Ball, that's right. Yeah, from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Man, like I said, it always goes by fast. We got 90 seconds, Rob. Can you wrap this up real quick before we cut off this show?
90 seconds. We got about four NFL games this weekend with some teams with winning records. We got to start off here. We got the 9-3 New Orleans Saints on the road at the 7-5. Tennessee Titans. You know, I may be a little biased, but I'm picking my Saints on the road.
They should win that game. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
I said they should win that game. I don't know. Is that the big one you want to focus on? Is the Saints and the
Texans?
And
let's see. We got 9-3 Houston on the road at 7-5 Cincinnati. I'm going to pick Cincinnati and a little bit of an upset there.
Wow. That's going to be an interesting game. I don't know if Tyler Yates and TJ, I don't know why we don't keep calling him Tyler. TJ Yates, we'll see how he plays. It's going to be tough for him versus
that's a hard name to say, TJ Yates.
Yeah, but that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think I may go with you. I think that the Cincinnati may pull that upset off.
We got 7-5 Chicago at 7-5 Denver. I'm starting to be a believer in Tebow. I'm picking Denver in that game at home.
I'm picking Denver as well. Man, I'm on the wagon. Anyway, we'll wrap it up.
7-5 Oakland at 12-0 Green Bay. Be our last game. Of course, I'm picking Green Bay again to go 13-0.
Green Bay. We'll see you guys next week. Same time, same channel. Thank you guys for joining in.
Good night,
cut
America.
Cut us off. Because one thing I found out, Mr. Ford, it cuts off like right at the time, too. So, FYI,
wow.
Whenever the show says it's 10 seconds, I'll listen to a couple of episodes. It cuts us off right at that point. There's no like, you know, so literally, I guess because of the fact that people have scrolled over before, so that whenever it says 10 seconds, it's going to cut you off right at 10 seconds. So we were finished at one point, it's like, and it cut us off. I was like, oh, anyway. That was a good episode.
Yeah.
Before I freaking forgot Monte Ball. I was literally go to find it for you, and my computer like froze for a quick second, and I couldn't think of his name either. I was like, I didn't think it was Casey Keenum. I was like, I know it's not Casey, but I couldn't figure out who else it was.
Yeah, Casey Keenum. I mean, there's three guys that you can probably say that maybe we've got a little snub. Case Keenum, Brandon Whedon. And then there's a third guy I'm thinking, Matt Barkley.
Matt Barkley. Yep, we're on the same page. Yep,
yeah,
we were thinking about this. There's a couple of guys that we were like, I couldn't remember if they were in or out, too. But
At one point of the season, I thought Brandon Whedon deserved to be the Heisman winner. But I think at this point, I mean, my vote will go to Trent Richardson, but, you know, from what I'm hearing, it looks like Andrew Luck may win it just because it looks like everybody on the West Coast is going to vote for him.
Yeah, and like I said, I think you have to look at his body of work, too. I mean, he didn't win it last year, obviously. So, it's one of the situations. They may say, give it to this guy. And I know we didn't get a chance to touch on it either. Maybe we can touch on it next week as far as some thoughts about Archie Manning, and I know he said some comments regarding playing it with Indianapolis, and Peyton has had some comments, and they're kind of retracing some of those, or retracting some things too, because other Peyton said, I don't think, Andrew want to take a back to anybody. I think he want to have his own thing. So, I'm kind of curious to see what actually is going to happen too, because I know you have strong opinions about getting the guy and having him continue to keep that train rolling with the Colts, if you will.
Yeah. Well, you know I like the Manning family and everything, but I think sometimes they have a tendency to be selfish. And I didn't necessarily agree with Archie Manning's comments by, coming out saying that. And I didn't think that was right. And because we don't know what Andrew Luck wants. And so, I didn't really think. And I know Archie Manning played with Andrew Luck's dad with the Houston Oilers for a season or two. And, I didn't think that was the right thing to say. And we all remember how, the Manning family talked San Diego out of taking them in the draft. Indianapolis has to do what's best for them. We all know how important the quarterback position is. And I'm talking like I'm still on the show.
No, I'm talking the same way.
We all know how important the quarterback position is, and the Colts have a chance to be set at quarterback for another 15 years. I mean, you have to take Andrew Luck. Now, I guess the decision the Colts are going to have to make is, do you keep them both on the same team for 1 or 2 years, or do you go ahead and trade Peyton Manning now? But I think it's a no-brainer, in my opinion. You draft Andrew Luck and you keep Andrew Luck, and you trade Peyton Manning.
Like I said.
Or keep Peyton until he wants to retire if he's just going to play another year or two.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I think it's very interesting to see how it's going to play out because if you are the Colts, man, the rich get richer. Who would have picked them to have a bad season? And like we talked about before, like it's like Spurs getting David Robinson and Tim Duncan. You just don't see something like it happen. Yep, and you're like, wow. So they have an opportunity to get another good, or if they really, like you said, if they really do think Peyton is the next coming of whatever, and they trade that pick, which I highly doubt, they can pretty much ask for the world and get whatever they want and just kind of like, win the Super Bowl and let Peyton ride off the sunset. But like you said, they're going to draft Andrew Luck without any doubt because you have no telling what's going to happen with Peyton if he's going to heal and all that.
Yeah. Do you think the coach will fire Jim Caldwell?
I don't think they will. They should real. If they do, it's kind of a travesty because, you know, Peyton, it sucks. Actually, you know, I don't know because, you know, Peyton can't tackle. Peyton can't play defense. You know, it seems like the Colts have lost all. I don't know what the deal is. It's kind of like they've been deflated.
I mean, look at that team. I mean, they've still got some Hall of Fame players. Dwight Freeney, Reggie Wayne, Robert Mathis. And but the thing you can't put a value on is Peyton Manning. You know, the Colts are built to have a lead. And they're built to play with a lead and rush those speed ends and get to the quarterback. And Peyton Manning, you know, able to have sustained drives and get the defense lots of rest as well. So there are a lot of factors that go along in, with that, but it's still kind of shocking with the players they still have on that team for them to be 0-12.
Yeah, like I said, that could be the only thing that makes feel a Caldwell State because, you know, you can't fall as far as he did because, like you said, unfortunately, you do have to, you know, realize that there are other pieces, there are other, you know, it's kind of like, let's hold down the fort until Peyton gets back. You think everyone kind of, like, rally together and let's say, let's do this for Peyton, but unfortunately, it went the opposite way, you know, so, you know, that could actually not work in his favor, if you will, so, you know.
Yeah, my friend Wayne thinks that the coach should fire Caldwell and Caldwell shouldn't be an NFL coach ever again.
Wow. Wayne, if you're out there one day, we'd like to get your opinion on the show. That's pretty controversial. I'm sure I got some Colts fans that may not share that, but, you know, very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right,
well,
sir.
Dr.
Well,
Peterson,
survive,
man, enjoyed another show.
Yes, sir. I think we'll archive it and
you
send it out and, you know. You made it.
Good,
good job,
man.
Sir. All right,
no problem,
so next
man.
Week, man, I'll be in Cali, so we'll see if I can pull off a little early.
Okay.
It'll be 8 my time, but we'll see if we can make it work, definitely.
So what's next? When you leave for Cali?
The 21st. That's the week after, actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, next Wednesday is the 14th,
okay. 14th, yep.
Yeah.
Got it, yep. We got the 21st,
okay.
Yep.
All
right, sir.
All right, man. We'll catch up a little later, man.
Sounds good. Have a good evening. All right.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.